I love a good UU joke. Here is my favorite. How many Unitarians does it take to change a light bulb? We choose not to make a statement either in favor of or against the need for a light bulb. However, if in your own journey you have found that light bulbs work for you, that is wonderful. You are invited to write a poem or compose a modern dance about your personal relationship with your light bulb. Present it next month at our annual Light Bulb Sunday service, in which we will explore a number of light bulb traditions, including incandescent, fluorescent, three-way, long life, and tinted, all of which are equally valid paths of luminescence. The theme that I'm working from this month is living our faith within the context of liberation. For me, this was a tough question, because how do we live a faith that we cannot define? 2 years ago, while I was training a young man at Disneyland in the costuming department, we discussed religion during our lunch break because he was fascinated by the idea of a church being so accepting of LGBT individuals and by the fact that I was becoming a minister in this rich tradition. He told me that the only information he'd ever gotten about Unitarian Universalism was a dismissive comment made by a professor teaching a class on religion at his college. I'll paraphrase. Unitarian Universalism isn't a religion. It's a social group that masquerades as a church. They aren't even worth talking about, so I won't. An anecdote I heard during a class at Meadville was involving Rosemary Bray McNatt, the current president of Star King School of the Ministry. She was interviewed by Coretta Scott King to be the ghost writer or co-writer, the professor wasn't sure, of her biography. She said something to the effect of this: "Oh, Martin and I love Unitarian Universalism, and we considered becoming UUs, but you wouldn't let us bring Jesus." To counterpoint, during a recent conversation with a colleague, she mentioned that she felt that humanists were under attack. She felt that they were being forced to accept this new idea that God was a thing now, and they just had to accept it. Not being a secular humanist myself, I didn't see it. But I can empathize, being a pagan within a larger denomination that sometimes looks at me with a certain level of appraisal. She felt that old guard humanists found a way to be religious without all the trappings of religion. They found a way to be very spiritual without sacrificing their personal beliefs. I then understood where she was coming from. If her spirituality wasn't broke, then why fix it? How do we live a faith that we cannot define? While I was at school, there was a lot of talk about a shared language of reverence. There was discussion on whether we even had rituals, and if the ones that we could agree upon were too homogenized or even watered down. I know that there are times when I felt very frustrated listening to the sheer numbers of people we were losing as a faith because either A, we're too loose for them or too individualistic, or B, we're not inclusive enough to their beliefs, and we often feel inclined to tell them what's wrong with them. We're losing our Christians to other liberal churches, and we're losing the ear of our atheists as well. One of the major conversations that we had during several of my seminary courses was that UUs were the fastest growing denominations, was one of the fastest growing denominations in the country. A poll brought forth during one of these classes said that in this country, over 500,000 people identified with or as a Unitarian Universalist. Current numbers show us, by the way, closer to 211,000. That's data gathered by the UUA. The question that often follows is, where are these people and how do we get them to come to church? If I might venture a couple of guesses, number one, less and less people have the freedom of Sundays off. Retail and service industry workers are required to work weekends. Some people even carry multiple jobs to make ends meet. Thus, there is little chance of these people having the spare hours just to breathe, not to mention making a spiritual commitment. Two, church attendance is difficult for families with children. UU's services can be later than most mainstream denominations, thus putting us in the unique position of vying with sports and other extracurricular activities. And also, if you don't have an engaging RE program, there really isn't an incentive for families to stick around. And I think probably the most important one is that Unitarian Universalists are terrible at evangelizing. We don't share our good news. Part of me suspects, do we even know what our good news is? Some might point to the seven principles, and while those are all well and good, I jokingly call them the seven gentle suggestions because we're not required to live by them. What does it then mean to be a UU? How do we live a faith that we cannot define? Live your faith. It's a phrase that we often hear in church or from mentors and peers, but it can be difficult to articulate what that really means. For such a simple phrase, we often feel paralyzed with how to act on the words and live our faith in our everyday lives. But we want to flip the script and make it easier to start living our faith out loud boldly, and even more importantly, leaning into the parts of our faith that make us uncomfortable and make it hard. Living your faith is not something that is only confined to the four walls of the church, like volunteering for food distribution or attending the latest protest. Instead, it's an everyday outward expression of your love and what it is doing for your life. It is a choice that we must make, and it's one that impacts everyone around us. Here are some simple ways to intentionally live your faith in everyday actions. You're probably already doing some of these in your own life, and you don't even realize that you're ministering to those around you. Show your gratitude. We all have things to be grateful for, but it can be easy to overlook them or take them for granted if we aren't seeking or we aren't consciously recognizing the blessings around us. When you are actively seeking things in your life and the lives of those around you to show gratitude for, the people around you can't help but take notice. Thank your friend for taking the time to listen to you when you've had a rough morning. Thank your barista for always having a smile on their face when they make your morning coffee. Thank your boss for taking the time to meet with you before a big presentation. Thank your spouse for folding the laundry so you can have some extra time for yourself. Finding the time in your day to recognize and react to these things around you will open your eyes and the eyes of others to the kindness and blessings that come with the simplest of joys. Lean into those joys and let yourself feel them. Let yourself embrace that gratitude. Be a friend. Who knew that living your faith could start with something as simple as being a friend to others? Being a good listener and an attentive friend to those around you expresses love through you and shows others that you care and that they're important to you. There's nothing more frustrating than trying to have a serious conversation with a friend that can't be bothered to look up from their phone long enough to engage with you. Choose to be intentional with your relationships and treat others as you want to be treated. Be authentic and inclusive, and your friends will see that love shining through you. Listen. Allow them to speak their truth, even if it makes you feel uncomfortable. Lean into that discomfort. You might learn something. Be open and willing to listen. This is one of the hardest things I've ever had to do and I've ever had to learn to do. And it goes back to the anecdote I shared at the start of my session. I have terrible anxiety and I hate confrontation. I despise it. And couple that with my own innate stubbornness, I've had a hard time in the past learning to stop, listen, and empathize. A personal example was that the idea that our faith leaders in Boston and beyond were embracing the idea of dismantling white supremacy culture. I had a hard time wrapping my head around that concept because when you say something like white supremacy culture, I instantly got a visual of neo-Nazi skinheads who only want whites to marry whites, who are violently aggressive toward anyone who looks different than them, and who treat others that are different with disdain and outright hatred. when I allowed myself to lean into those conversations and really listen to what was being said, I understood that the term did not mean that, but rather it addressed the idea that the system in which we live was designed for, by, and to benefit white men specifically, especially wealthy white men. Women and persons of color have always had to work within a system that wasn't designed to offer them that advantage. And we've been trying to force them to fit into that system rather than simply changing the system to help them and to serve all. Again, lean into that discomfort and let those that are telling of their marginalized identities to lead. Let them tell you what they need. If you're a woman, a person of color, or any other marginalized identity, lean into the discomfort of letting yourself be heard. It's one of the hardest things I've had to do as a queer man. I like my deities to be imperfect with human foibles, which is one of the reasons why I love the Greek gods specifically. But I also love the idea expressed by Mary Daly, who wrote, "Is it the creative potential itself in human beings that is the image of God? Why indeed must God then be a noun? Why not a verb, the most active and dynamic of all? Hasn't the naming of God as a noun been an act of murdering this dynamic verb? And isn't the verb infinitely more personal than a mere static noun?" Doesn't that speak to us as Unitarian Universalists? We are a faith of action. We are the faith of Martha and Wetzel Sharp, who helped endangered refugees escape Czechoslovakia and Vichy France during World War II. We are the faith of James Luther Adams, who himself was interrogated by the German Gestapo for his involvement with the underground church movement at the height of Nazi Germany. We are the faith that marched with the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. on Selma. We're the faith that actively sided with love, fighting for the rights of LGBT persons in this country to marry. A song that brought me to tears during a school event was surprisingly a gospel piece called "I Need You to Survive." I encourage you to look it up. It's on YouTube. Hezekiah Walker does a beautiful arrangement of it. We need one another to survive because our faith demands it. While we do not have to believe in our previous Christian theology, we must acknowledge that it is part of our spiritual DNA. We have Christian members and we have pagan members. We have a rich humanist tradition that welcomes atheists, naturalists, and Darwinists. We are also persons of color, disabled, and LGBTQIA+, et cetera, et cetera. I need you to survive because you all teach me to be a better human and a better Unitarian Universalist. I need you to survive because I believe in you and the work that you do and that you're capable of doing. Finally, give yourself permission to laugh at the fact that our churches often feel called to involve three committees and two subcommittees on how, when, and why to change a light bulb. And those of you who are involved with the Green Sanctuary program know what I'm talking about. But be sure to take the time to lift up that it is so funny because we really do earnestly recognize the impact of one little light bulb, and we do our best to honor the voice of every person that's connected to it. This says a whole lot about our faith. Humor can be a fun way and the best way to help define something sacred. How do we live a faith that we cannot define? I truly believe that it is what we do that leaves a lasting impression on those that don't know us. Our essence of you, or our you-ness, if you will, comes out in our jokes and in the stories of our everyday lives of how we're together at home. Our faith shines when we share that many of our congregations don't like to talk about Jesus much, if at all. And even if you do, and that UUs are known to celebrate at least 5 different winter holidays. You might even let it slip that UU communion takes place at coffee hour, our potlucks are second to none, and then you find yourself accompanied by a guest to church next Sunday. That is how you define a faith that you live. May it be so.